Exodus 12. I want to begin reading in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 12. And this day, speaking of the Passover, shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day into the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 120th day of the month, at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. I want to attempt to speak upon this subject, the danger of leaven. Unleavened bread was to be eaten along with the Paschal lamb, and when the feast was established, they were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and they were actually called upon to purge out all leaven out of their house. They were to get rid of it all and eat nothing but unleavened bread. Now, leaven is yeast. That's all it is. It's a fungus which causes fermentation. It's through the process of fermentation that alcohol is made. It is also how bread rises and puffs up. We all know what yeast is. Now, there's nothing sinful in yeast in and of itself, but it has a metaphorical meaning. It means throughout the Scripture, the way the Bible uses this word. And I introduced this message with that warning, a little leaven, just a little. Leaven's the whole lump. Leaven in the Scripture means to taint, to corrupt, to infect, to imbue. It is any influence working silently and strongly that causes change in things or opinions. That's what leaven represents. Anything working silently, imperceptibly. It's not something you see at first. It's just small. But it works change in things and opinions. Now this word, leaven, is taken from the word that means a swelling or a rising, puffed up. You know, light bread, bread's puffed up. So we can see, because of what leaven represents, why it was to be purged from the houses where the Passover meal was eaten. Yeast, as I said, is not a sinful thing in and of itself, but what it represents is against Christ. So they were to purge it from their homes. And anybody that even had leaven in their homes, yeast in their homes, that the Scripture says that soul was to be cut off. Now that's very severe, isn't it? The soul was to be cut off from the people. Now, you and I ought to be scared to death of leaven. You know, ever since I prepared this message, it's just scared me thinking about this. The prayer of my heart is, Lord, keep me. Lord, preserve me. I'm afraid of leaven. Individuals go bad. And churches go bad because of leaven. Something brought in that puffs up with pride, which corrupts, that changes. And this is a very, very solemn thing to think about. But there are religious assemblies that started out true gospel churches. They started out believing the gospel. But the leaven of false doctrine got in and corrupted it. And God has removed the candlestick. That has happened. Many churches have began with the truth, began preaching the gospel. And the example I use, where's the church at Ephesus now? Where's the church at Laodicea now? They started out with the gospel. Where is the church at Pergamos now? All these churches that began with the truth, with the gospel, with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there, and then He wrote Ichabod over the door. He left, and it's just a religious institution going through the motions without the Spirit of God. And what scares me so much is I know if the Lord doesn't come back, it'll happen to this place one day. Happens every time. No local church ever continues. Now, one of my prayers to the Lord is that I'll be dead before it happens. I hope you all are too. I really do. I hope you all are too. But it's such a sobering, solemn thing to think of the introduction of leaven. How many people have you known? How many people have seemed to believe, seemed to love Christ? It's appeared that they did, but leaven is introduced. Where are they now? How many people have we seen come and go here? Whole lot. Whole lot. But there's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. Now there are individuals, there are churches who seem to start out well, but they fell away. Now I realize, I understand this, I've got this confidence. I know all of God's elect are going to be saved. Don't have to worry about any of the elect not being saved. Every one of God's chosen people will be saved. Everybody that Christ died for will be saved. But this still concerns. No ifs, ands, but. That's just the truth. You know that. You know that's so. But the thought of leaven being introduced, a very small amount of yeast placed in the dough will work itself through the whole batch. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 16. I want to look at several scriptures that give us some idea of what leaven represents. Beginning in verse 6. Then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we've taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. False doctrine works as leaven. And let me say first, that false doctrine always has a sinister, evil motive behind it. It's never simply mistaken notions. It's sinful. It's evil. It is opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just People going in the same direction, one believing one thing, another believing another, but they're all going the same place. No, false doctrine is opposed to Jesus Christ. And when it's introduced, it works as leaven, working its way through the whole batch of dough. It begins almost imperceptibly. It's very subtle. Let me show you that from the Scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you a couple of Scriptures. Verse 13. For such are false apostles. They appear to be apostles. They say they are, but they're false. Now, does a false apostle preach the gospel? Answer that question. Does a false apostle? Obviously not. Now, look what's said about him next. They're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They appear to be the apostles of Christ. And this is no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of what? Righteousness. That's a big word. Whose end shall be according to their works. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Paul is looking for maturity. That we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slight of men, slyness, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, do you know in every epistle, with the exception of one, there's a warning regarding false prophets? Every single one of them. What's the first thing the Lord said after He said, strive to enter into the straight gate? Does anybody know? First thing He said after He told His people to strive to enter in the straight gate, the first thing He said is, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They talk like sheep. They use that language. But within, they're wolves looking to devour you. Now, quite often, and this is what is so scary, and we have to ask the Lord to help us, ask the Lord to preserve us, ask the Lord to give us grace to not be deceived. Quite often, a false prophet is most clearly identified, not by what he says. It's not even positive error. Sometimes everything he says is true. It's what he omits. It's what he leaves out. The Lord put it this way when he was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, here's what you fellows have done. You pay tithe and a mint of mint and anise and cumin. You pay your tithes, but you've omitted. You've left out the weightier matters of the law, that which really matters. You just passed that by. Now, the example I thought of was that lady in Acts chapter 16. Remember the lady that was possessed with a spirit of, Scripture says, divination? And what was she saying? She was saying concerning Paul and Silas, these be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Tell me what was wrong with what she said. Find any error there? Anything wrong with that? I mean, everything she said was true. But yet, Paul cast her out as being demon-possessed. It wasn't what she was saying, it's what she didn't say. Now, the way I respond to something like that is, Lord, have mercy on me. Keep me, preserve me, teach me. Don't let me be tricked by this subtle, deceitful, cunning craftiness. The Lord said, take heed and beware of false prophets. The doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. False prophets, false doctrine will come with the same words as true doctrine. They'll use words like grace and blood and faith and all those words. It'll change the meaning, though. Change the meaning of the word. May God deliver us from this. Turn to Luke 12. You see how false doctrine is leaven that can corrupt the church. It's happened to how many thousands of churches over the years.
I know the Lord's in control of this, and I really don't believe it's the Lord's will for any local church to continue on and on and on. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You can just count on it. And Lord, preserve me and keep me.
Luke 12. Verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began first of all to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Now this is what leaven represents. It represents false doctrine. It represents hypocrisy. Now what is hypocrisy? It's acting. It's insincerity. It's pretending to be what you're not. It's claiming to be what you're not. It's insincere. It's an act. As a matter of fact, the Greeks at that time, the movie stars, were called hypocrites. That's what they did. They were actors. They were hypocrites. That's all the word means. Hypocrisy is the opposite of honesty. I love that passage of Scripture in Psalm 32:1, where it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, what kind of spirit is that? That's the new spirit. That's the new nature. That's the holy nature, and in that nature there is no guile. It is honest. Now, does a believer need to be warned about this thing of being a hypocrite? I mean, we are believers. Does a believer need to? I mean, is this a needful warning to me? Well, I can show you where it was a needful warning to an apostle. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled. And that word is acted the hypocrite. It is the word hypocrisy. And the other Jews acted the hypocrite likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation or their hypocrisy. Now, Barnabas and Peter at this time, Paul says, you're playing the part of a hypocrite. You're being an actor. You're not being real. This was said to an apostle. Now what took place? We see how leaven began to work and people were carried away from it by it. Now what took place? Well, look up in verse 13. Or I'm sorry, verse 11. And when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now, can you imagine how difficult that must have been for Paul to publicly reprimand Peter before all these people? I mean, I don't want to reprimand somebody publicly. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want anybody to be humiliated. I don't want to nail anybody to the wall. I mean, I want to speak to him privately if I've got a problem. And that's the way it generally ought to be done, isn't it? But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, deals with this publicly in a very public manner. Now what happened? Verse 4. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Peter was having a good time with the Gentiles, fellowshipping with the Gentiles. He wasn't practicing Jewish custom and diet and so on. And he was just having a good time talking, fellowshipping. But when they were come, these fellows from James who were Jews, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which are of the circumcision. Now all he did is he got up. He didn't say anything. He got up and he moved tables. And he sat back down and started talking to the Jews. You see, he was saying by that action, Gentiles are saved and Jews are saved, but Jews are a little bit more pleasing to God. Just a little bit more. They do it. They've got a little bit of... they're all saved. Don't get me wrong. They're all saved. But Jews are a little bit more pleasing. Now, how does Paul respond to that? Let's look in verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried
away with their dissimulation. Do you see how leaven starts spreading throughout the whole lump? You see what happened with Barnabas. But when I saw that they walked, verse 14, not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why are you turning things around and compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews by this action of yours? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified. Now notice verse 14. He said, when I saw that they walked not uprightly, what's that next phrase? According to the truth of the gospel. Now what is the truth of the gospel? The truth of the gospel is that everybody Christ died for is saved. Everybody who believes on Him is saved. And you can't get any more saved than you are right now by what Christ did. That's the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is all in salvation. There's not Jew, there's not Gentile. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And we're all accepted in the Beloved. There's not one that's more pleasing to God than another. You know, I'm glad about that, aren't you? I'm thankful it's that way. I know if I thought that there were ways that I could be more pleasing to God than you, I'd be stepping on you trying to get up. I know myself enough to be, I'd be like that, and you'd be doing that to me too. That's the way men are by nature. But thank God we don't even have to worry about it. That's settled. Every believer is simply accepted in Christ. You can't get any more saved than you are right now. You can't get any more loved than you are right now. And Paul rebuked Peter. Now, what if Paul would have kept his mouth shut? What if Paul would have just said, I'm not going to deal with this publicly? Well, look, let's stay here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. They wanted Titus to be circumcised. He can't preach if he's not circumcised. Paul said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, Paul is saying, if I back off here, the truth of the gospel won't continue. The introduction of leaven has come in, and it's going to leaven its way through the whole lump. And that's why Paul dealt so sternly with this. Now, while we're in Galatians, look in Galatians 5. I read this at the beginning of the message. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 7. You did run well. You were doing fine. You seemed to believe the gospel. I was so encouraged with you. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion, this belief that you have, cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, back up to verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, you can forget Christ. Christ shall profit you nothing. If you put one work in salvation, you can forget Christ. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, if I make salvation dependent upon works in any way, I make the whole thing by works. A little leaven, just a little, leavens its way throughout the whole lump. Now, let me try to illustrate this. There is essentially no difference between believing that salvation comes by obedience to the by your own personal obedience to the Ten Commandments and believing that God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody, wants to save everybody, but it's up to an act of your free will as to whether or not you'll be saved. In both instances, your salvation is dependent upon what you do. No difference.
You see, that you put any work anywhere in salvation, I don't care if it's at the beginning,
where your salvation is dependent upon something for you to do, or it won't happen, or if it's in the middle, where you got to keep yourself, or if it's in the end, where you got to do something that'll give you a higher reward in heaven by what you do. You put a work in there anywhere, you make the whole thing by works.
A little leaven, just a little, it leavens the whole lump. Turn to 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Now that word glorying is your boasting,
what you have confidence in. It's the same word that Paul used when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same word where it's, as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now he says your glorying, your confidence, what you're resting in, what you're boasting in, is not good.
Well, then he says, know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Look back up in verse 1. Let's see why he said this. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So you see, it was a scandalous, evil, unclean thing going on. And look what he says now in verse 2. He says, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from you. Now here's what he rebukes them about. He says, you're puffed up. You're
proud. You don't think it's that big a deal. You think you won't be infected by it. You think, well, you know, everybody's human. I mean, he was going in that direction. What are we going to do about it? You know, I mean, just overlook it.
Overlook it. That's what that's talking about. Overlooking it. And that's why he rebukes them. He says, your toleration of this is going to have far-reaching consequences if you don't get rid of it. Look what he says. He says, you'd not rather mourn that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. And what's he talking about being taken away? Well, in that passage of Scripture, he talks about getting rid of that person. Look down in verse 7. Well, he says, purge out that. He's talking about purging out that person. Well, let's go and read him. For I verily is absent in the body, but present in the spirit. Verse 3. Have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ when you're gathered together. And my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now I have no idea what all that means. It's scary. You read something like that. Paul had apostolic authority. Aren't you glad I don't have power like that? Where I could deliver you to Satan for the... Oh my, I bet this place would empty out quick, you know. And I understand that, but Paul had it. But he was talking about delivering this one who was participating in this for the destruction of the flesh. And here's what he's saying to these people. You don't fear that this leaven is going to affect you. Now what this is toleration.
Toleration. Now I realize in many ways we have to tolerate each other, don't we? We're to forbear one another in love, the Scripture says. Forbear one another. Put up with one another. And I'm going to hurt your feelings. Forgive me. I'm going to do things that offend you. Please forgive me. And you're going to do the same thing. And by the grace of God, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to forget it. It's over. There's a lot of toleration that needs to go on with God's people. Putting up with one another. I mean, people are so different, aren't they? And people have such... You all have such weird ideas. It's a wonder I can put up with any of you. And take that run with it.
But toleration is a leaven. There's toleration, there's some things, if I tolerate it, you know what I'm doing? I'm approving of it. That's what I'm doing. And that's what he is rebuking them about at this time. You're acting like this is no big deal. Now look what he says. Know ye not, verse 6, know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Now, we're to get rid of the old leaven, the malice and wickedness and what was going on here. And I love what he says when he says the unleavened bread is the unleavened bread of sincerity. It's the opposite of hypocrisy. Sincerity. It's the opposite of acting. Sincerity. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 1. I think this will give us some idea of what it means. Verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in this world and more abundantly to you. Simplicity. It's not convoluted. It's not hard to understand. It's not technical. Christ is all. That's simple, isn't it? You're complete in Him. Simplicity. And godly sincerity. The opposite of hypocrisy. Sincerity. I can begin right here. I sincerely believe I'm a sinner. I'm not just using the language. I really believe. I'm sincere. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need His mercy. Sincerely. Sincerely. I need your friendship. Sincerely. I need you. Sincerely. I mean, I could go on. It's not put on. It's real. Sincerity and truth. That's talking about truth objectively, the truth of the gospel. And it's talking about truth subjectively. A truthful person. An honest person. One who can be trusted. That's the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. As opposed to false doctrine. As opposed to hypocrisy. As opposed to salvation by works. As opposed to an unclean spirit of toleration. Now every day, you listen to me real carefully. Every day we're called upon to purge out the old leaven. There's not a day that goes by when we're not called upon to do that. We've got plenty of it, don't we? Purge out the old leaven. It's a lifelong process. You'll wake up in the morning and start it over again. Same thing. That's all right. That's the way the Lord does it. That's okay. But I'm called upon to purge out the old leaven that I might be a new lump. And it's the new lump that believes Christ our Passover, which is sacrificed for us. So this thing of leaven, it's not meaningless. I mean, you were to purge out all the leaven 7 days. And if you had that leaven in your home, your soul was cut off. Can you see the danger of leaven? With regard to you, let's forget this church body. Let's just talk about you as an individual. Can you see the danger of leaven where it can begin to work in you imperceptibly, and it's just going to gradually work its way through the whole lump? Now, here's my response to that. This is the only thing I know what to say about this. This makes me cry out to the Lord for mercy. Grace to keep me and to preserve me and to teach me. Because I know that if that leaven gets in me, it'll work its way through the whole batch of dough. And so I ask the Lord, Lord, keep me. Preserve me. Deliver me from being leavenized. I don't know what else to say. Um,
I hope that we will all pray that the Lord will deliver us from this leaven as individuals and as a church and for all the Lord's churches. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you will enable us to purge out the leaven of false doctrine, the leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of salvation by works, and the leaven of toleration of sin. Lord, this is so infinitely above our ability. Lord, we ask that you would do this for us and enable us to purge out this leaven. Lord, that can only be done through thy strength and through thy grace. And Lord, we trust you to do that. Lord, we ask for your mercy upon this assembly. We pray that you would be pleased to cause your gospel to continue to go out from this place. And we pray that our children might be brought to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. We pray that we might see many sinners brought to a knowledge of thy dear Son in this place. Lord, save people for Christ's sake. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.